Like to call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting. Everybody please stand for a Pledge of Allegiance and afterwards remain standing for a moment of silence for Snohomish County Board of Supervisors employee Sandy Hopp.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
We have a presentation today, our 2012 State of the County Address by Supervisor William O'Brien, the Chairman of our Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors.
Good morning. Good morning to my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors, Supervisors Chiesa, Withrow, Monteith, and DeMartini, to Chief Executive Officer Monica Nino, County Counsel Jack Doring, all of our county department heads, our county employees, those who are in the chambers, and those who are watching on television or online, to my wife Alicia and my father Chuck. Good morning. It's great to see everybody here this morning. What a different world it is since I stood before you in 2007 when I presented the State of County Address. In 2007, I said, I have seen that each year brings new issues and new challenges. You can never plan for them all, but you must be ready to respond to them all. I had no idea what was ahead of us. Little did I realize the course of events that would transpire since that time, and how it would affect the world and national economy, and the impact it would have on our own Stanislaus County residents. That speech has turned into an interesting snapshot in light of the changes that have since taken place. The last 5 years has been a time where hope at times has run thin. We've been the epicenter of a national foreclosure crisis. Unemployment is high, and corporate downsizing and business closures have plagued us in the valley. It's been a time of economic struggle and emotional pain, not just for our county residents, but for all our county employees. It's been a time of significant change and personal sacrifice. But I tell you today that I believe hope is now returning, that the promise of a new opportunity can be ignited in us, and that there's a reality of a new day that has arrived for Stanislaus County. Times are still going to be rough, and our journey will have setbacks, but I believe we have hope in our future as we move forward together. Our new day looks different. It's not a day of returning to the old. Rather, it's a day of change. It is not a day of finding our way back. Rather, it is a day of moving our way forward. In 2007, the speech I gave was filled with great initiative, and it came with a desire to improve the quality of service that the government provides to the public. It highlighted significant events, great accomplishments, and ambitious projects for the future. It was also a call for better and more effective government. In 2007, I highlighted numerous natural disasters that had just impacted our county, including floods, the heat disaster, and a 30,000-acre wildfire. We greatly relied on our Office of Emergency Services for coordinated and timely responses to these emergencies. 5 years later, that same Office of Emergency Services has been consolidated into the Modesto Regional Fire Authority, a new regional organization formed in an effort to streamline government operations in a more cost-effective manner. This has been an extremely challenging effort to meld three organizations into one, but it was necessary in light of resources. In 2007, I relayed we had started the county water summits, bringing together 25 different water distributors to share information and begin coordinating efforts where possible. It was here where former Supervisor Jeff Grover planted the seed of creating a recycled water program similar to one used in the Monterey Peninsula. The county is now a participant in and a strong supporter of the North Valley Regional Recycled Water Program, a highly ambitious project which will someday deliver nearly 33,000 acre-feet of recycled water each year to farmers in the drought-impacted west side of the county. This project will put fallow agricultural land back into production and help uplift our vital agriculture economy. I also discussed the gateway parcel of Tuolumne River Regional Park, which was about to break ground. Downtown river areas are treasured by any city in this country, and we have a jewel less than 1 mile from this building. That is why we are part of a partnership with the cities of Modesto and Ceres to improve this gem that is currently in the rough. Today, the parcel has begun to develop with approximately 30 acres of riparian habitat restoration along the river, grading of the outdoor seating area and fields, and significant site preparation for future pedestrian trails. We were nearing completion of the construction of the Gala Center for the Arts and would soon celebrate the stunning achievement of bringing a world-class performing arts center through a public-private partnership right here in Stanislaus County. The Latino Emergency Council just been formed as a community partnership. Today, the council continues to thrive and has developed in a 501c3 nonprofit organization. This grassroots organization has assisted the county's Office of Emergency Service in responding to every significant disaster that has occurred since its inception through the leadership role in the Latino community. These volunteers are passionate about reaching out and helping others. In 2007, we were beginning to hold public meetings on the North County Corridor Project and applying for desperately needed federally qualified health center look-alike status for our county medical clinics. Today, the North County Corridor Project is moving forward with great momentum and has been narrowed down to two alternative road alignments. And we did receive that FQHC look-alike designation for our clinics, a designation that has drastically cut our losses in providing health care for the underserved and help preserve more than 200,000 medical visits every year. These are just a few of the examples of the ground we've covered since 2007. My point in reviewing these projects is this. Many times we don't look back and appreciate the work that has been done. While looking into the future is a necessary element of leadership, we cannot ignore the past. And we must celebrate our recent past in light of the odds that has been stacked against us. To say these past 4 years has been extremely difficult is a supreme understatement. We lost 1,000 positions in our Stanislaus County government. Some departments have 50% less staff than they had 4 years ago. Yet our staff continues to press forward on significant projects. They have not quit, but rather they have turned these major changes into an opportunity to reconfigure how the public is served. They've not given up, and they are doing some amazing work. And I want to acknowledge each of our county employees for what they do on a daily basis. We can choose to find strength in these times of challenge, or we can choose to be defeated. I have seen our employees choose to move forward together, encouraging one another and supporting one another, even in the midst of struggle. And many of these struggles will continue. Our property tax base is starting to stabilize, but its return will be slow over a long period of time. We will be faced with managing our county finances with far less tax base to fund our budget. On a more uplifting note, sales tax has recently shown some promise of growth, but is also linked with the uncertainty of our national economy. Many of our financial struggles do not come of our own choosing, but rather from a state government that continues to show signs of dysfunction. Stanislaus County is a legal subdivision of our state. Our destiny is tied to the state of California Constitution. We are subject to its laws, regulations, actions, and decisions, and we desperately need relief. If you would indulge me for a few examples of the challenges we face. In 2011, there were 725 new laws that took effect in California. 2010, 696. This year, there are 745 new laws on the books, including the regulation of tanning beds, recycling rents for renters, and caffeinated beer. Elected officials in Sacramento are continuing to add thousands and thousands and thousands of new laws that become an enormous collective weight on Californians and a crushing burden on local government. Now, I'm not saying that all new laws are bad. A number of them can be good. But let's be honest and let's get real about how much of this is truly out of control nonsense. We're tied as a county to a runaway horse that is pulling us in the wrong direction. We need relief from excessive state laws, and it starts with cutting the number of bills that are passed, and it includes considering local financial impacts on any new legislation. We will closely watch not just the implementation of realignment phase one, but also realignment phase two. We are already concerned about phase one, as our volumes of parolees and inmates well exceed state projections. Without a guaranteed state funding source, this project is destined to put California counties at significant risk, whether through insufficient funding for caseloads or cuts to funding due to state budget problems. Regulatory burden is another issue facing our county. Just this year, with the passage of cap and trade by the State Air Resources Board, that decision alone will be projected to cost a recycling energy facility millions of dollars into the future. Proposed changes in stormwater regulations, definitions of solid waste, diversion credits, and commercial recycling are all areas of risk for increased cost to county residents based on the decisions of state agencies. And these are only just a few examples. Too often, state agencies are passing regulations that can have significant financial impact on local government, sometimes without the appearance of concern for local impacts. Our county budget is tied to the state. If the state needs money, and we all know they do, they'll take from county government. One way they do this is through what they call payment deferrals. It's really a nice way of saying they stop paying us for providing services they mandate us to provide. I'm not sure if there's a legal term for someone who forces someone to provide a service and then refuses them to pay for the service. And then they turn around and force us to do it over and over again without paying us. Basically, we're providing state services and they're supposed to pay us for providing those services, but then they withhold the money and sometimes never pay us back. Stanislaus County is still owed millions and millions of dollars from the state for program deferrals. Some of the money is owed from nearly 10 years ago. It's morally wrong, and it's something none of us would do, but the state does it to us on an ongoing basis. Another cost reduction tool the state uses is to reduce specific program funding for the county. Most of the funding is already less than the county's cost, but then continue to require the county to provide the service. The county can't discontinue the service. It just has to operate with less than full funding and make up the shortfall from the county budget. These cuts can run the full gamut from physical health and mental services to social service programs and property tax collection. More and more people need services while the funding shrinks, placing the burden on our county residents who brought the local cuts. And speaking of cuts, I must reference the county's redevelopment program. Stanislaus County has carefully and thoughtfully used redevelopment funds to support only vitally important priorities. This was a result of careful planning and the desire to meet the needs of our unincorporated communities. Our projects have helped build infrastructure in underserved areas and improve the quality of life of our residents. We've been very strategic in pursuing only those projects which can bring some of our greatest good to our local communities. We've used our funds to connect residents to sanitary sewer service in the Shackelford and Bret Harte areas, develop storm drains in the communities of Salida, Keys, and Empire, help fund an important water study in the Monterey Park Tract, provided needing funding for rehabilitation of a water distribution system in Crow's Landing, and implemented affordable housing programs for people in serious need. Our plans were to continue on this path of building critical infrastructure in underserved areas. Redevelopment is now being wiped out as a tool for the county to use, and it is unknown how we will be able to address these community needs in the future. At first, it appeared there might be hope for saving redevelopment, but it appears the book is closing for this era. The next game from Sacramento is the charade of passing bills that are called funded mandates, which is really hard to say with a straight face. These are bills which will cost the county money because they require the county to do specific tasks to implement the bill. Oftentimes, these are pet projects of legislators and probably shouldn't be passed in the first place. The bills are written so the state budget does not fund our local costs associated with the bill, but they include in the bill a provision allowing the county to charge a new fee to recover our cost. If the county does not impose the new fee on residents, the county eats those costs associated with the bill. It is morally wrong, but again, they figured out a way to legally pass costs onto local government. And finally, we need relief from the negative bailout we continue to provide the state. The county forfeits more than $3 million every year to the state of California as a result of the so-called negative bailout that was created as a result of the legislation related to the passage of Proposition 13. We have lost more than $60 million in money transferred out of the county's treasury as a result of this problem. And it is another example of how the state can pass new laws regarding tanny beds, but is unable to fix this problem that directly impacts every resident in our county. No one in Sacramento disputes this problem is an unintended consequence of the legislation, yet it has gone unfixed for 30 years, and elected officials outside of our county have little or no interest in it. I personally want to thank all of our local assembly members and senators in Sacramento for their ongoing effort to influence a fix to the problem in this midst of an unreceptive Sacramento environment. They continue to fight passionately for the issue, and I'm greatly appreciative. We've gotten so used to these money grabs by the state, we almost forget to mention them anymore. It's become a way of life we cannot control. We now operate in a new and very different framework, less revenue and fewer employees. None of us like this new reality, but it is our new reality. It is our new day, and we must be strong as we face it. We believe and committed ourselves to the idea our Board of Supervisors must be resolute to lead with creativity, strength, and vision. More than ever, we as a board have responsibility to be leaders. We are elected to lead. We've not been elected to push the responsibility for our decisions onto others. Leaders in Sacramento can make decisions and pass the problems to local government to try to fix. We can't do that, and we won't do that. This is not the time for turf battles and personal politics. Passing your problem for someone else to fix is not leadership. It is avoidance, and it sends a message that elected officials aren't responsible or accountable for their actions. This is not the philosophy of responsible government. The Board of Supervisors have made extremely difficult decisions over the past 5 years. We've probably faced some of the most difficult policy decisions in recent history, but now, more than ever, it is the time for accountability. It is the opportunity for elected leaders to step up to provide vision and direction. It's not a time to pass the buck and play politics. Our community problems are too big and the impacts too significant. We have championed using partnerships, regional partnerships, and public-private partnerships. And we have taken a lead role in pursuing these. And we will continue to pursue these. Like the Gallo Centers for the Arts and the Regional Water Safety Training Center in Empire, weren't the end of our partnering efforts, even though the economy plummeted into deep recession. We must not be afraid of creativity and innovation in government. We've shown these concepts can be the impetus and backbone of our partnerships. We've taken steps in reorganizing county services and departments, and will continue to find new ways to do the public's business. I want to call upon our innovative staff to continue to explore opportunities for consolidation where it's appropriate, whether with other agencies or consolidation of departments and programs within our own organization. We will continue to be bold and unafraid to look for new ways to streamline government and maximize taxpayer dollars. Our decision to regionalize fire services were very bold. It was a difficult decision for many reasons and extremely difficult to implement, but it was the right decision. The Modesto Regional Fire Authority has been one of the most challenging projects this board has tackled, bringing Stanislaus County, the City of Modesto, and the Salida Fire Protection District into a brand new agency. Three different governing bodies molded into one, three different payroll systems, three different sets of policies and procedures, three different labor agreements, and the list goes on. While the road has been rough getting here, there are still challenges to overcome. We feel this project will bring significant benefit to our local community. We just celebrated the first anniversary of our new animal shelter. Not only can we celebrate a new, humane, and safe place for our staff, the animals, and the public, but we have a unique partnership to provide a low-income, low-cost spay and neuter clinic and a new way of doing the public's business with one joint agency rather than six separate public agencies. The county's partnership with the cities of Modesto, Ceres, Patterson, Houston, and Waterford is a model for efficiencies and effectiveness in government. This year, we have also celebrated the first anniversary of the Family Justice Center. This project is a public-private partnership targeted to help some of the most vulnerable victims of crimes, domestic violence, child abuse, and elder abuse. It took years to develop this partnership, but everyone had their eye on the vision to bring comprehensive and compassionate service to these victims. Now we have law enforcement investigators, district attorney staff, crisis intervention counselors, legal assistants, nonprofit volunteers, and much more under one roof. So victims no longer have to travel to multiple locations throughout the community to get care while being forced to tell their story over and over again. It is a humane project in the most horrible of circumstances, and it was the right thing to do. And to those involved with this project, we celebrate their passion and their work and their difference they are making. We strongly support the efforts of our county's mayors who continue to press forward to develop a regional growth plan. This plan would establish expansion boundaries for each city and identify areas for agriculture preservation up to the year 2050. Having a plan like this is essential for wise infrastructure investment and responsible stewardship of our natural resources. We're proud to say the county has been an advocate of these efforts since the inception of the project. We completed the highly complex county redistricting effort this year that was another outstanding partnership with a dedicated group of community volunteers. Our ad hoc citizen redistricting advisory committee teamed with Stanislaus County personnel to create our new district boundaries, which need to be adjusted every 10 years according to California code. These individuals spent hundreds of hours studying, meeting members of the public, and working in a collaborative and respectful manner that should be an example statewide. The end result was a logical, well-crafted district map that best represents our community, and our thanks go out to them. Unique partnerships will continue to be necessary in order to provide services for our community. It is a difficult reality to consistently see that our community needs far exceed our government resources. In a budget crisis, every decision becomes a momentous decision that impacts the lives of those right here in our own neighborhoods. We are committed to creativity in order to meet these needs. One such project is the Valley Recovery Resources. Here's an example of people doing all the right things for all the right reasons. I was honored to personally champion this effort along with Patty Hill Thomas from the county's Chief Executive Office on the public side. But the real story is with a dedicated group of community volunteers who decided to make a difference in our community. As many of you are aware, funding for clean and sober living programs and other substance abuse programs has been dramatically reduced, while our community needs continue to grow. For the past few years, Santa Cruz County has not been able to obtain all the state and federal funds we could, because we can only afford to fund the minimum local match requirement for these programs. That meant we had to leave money on the table. Because of state funding issues, the county was forced to cut funding for several community facilities that provide clean and sober living services. Several community-based programs closed, and others were threatened. That's when a group of passionate, dedicated, and generous individuals came forward and donated their own money to begin a private fundraising effort to leverage those unused state and federal child welfare dollars. If you're not aware, the Redwood Family Center was a facility that could house 25 women and their children, and it was operated by Interfaith Ministries. Not content to just let another clean and sober program close, that dedicated group of community volunteers stepped forward with donated money in hand to work with the county to keep the facility open. These volunteers created a nonprofit called Valley Recovery Resources, and they began to raise money. They raised more than $159,000. The twist of this project is that with that $159,000, the county was then able to leverage to get additional $3.3 million in federal and state money for these local services. These volunteers raised enough money to purchase the Redwood Family Center and expand into a vacant county residential facility to create clean and sober living environments that can provide services up to 40 families a month. Their generous donation also allowed for other programs to be restored, adding strength and hope to the much-needed safety net. These programs are thriving today, and I'd like to thank all of the volunteers from the Valley Recovery Resources. Last year, Chairman Monteith presented a vision and perspective in his State of the County address that was inspirational, motivational, and right on the mark. He exhorted us to embrace the ideal of volunteerism and the significant role it should play within government. I'm extremely pleased to announce last year there were more than 41,000 community volunteer hours of service within our Santa Cruz County departments and programs. What an amazing number, and what an amazing outpouring from the community. Supervisor Monteith, thank you for your inspiration and a reminder to us all that community service is a vital part of who we are as a community and as a county. Animal services, our library system, health clinics, veteran services, the list goes on, are all recipients of hundreds and sometimes thousands of hours of volunteer service. It is humbling to see how generous our community can be. During the past few years, some of our difficult budget cuts came in the area of our county parks. Recreation is extremely important to the overall health of our county, and people need places to enjoy nature and open spaces. We are blessed that our county has many beautiful parks and recreational areas. Unfortunately, some of our parks are suffering as a result of budget cuts. Laird Park in Grayson is a park that needed repairs and maintenance. Was decaying and was shut down as a result of the budget crisis. Answering the call to volunteerism, a group of community members led by Westside farmer John Maring has stepped forward, joined with Supervisor DeMartini, to renovate Laird Park. More than $100,000 in plan improvements are underway, including drilling a well for water, installing automatic sprinkler systems, pruning trees, removing dangerous trees, and replanting trees. An overgrown and abandoned regional park will now be revitalized and brought back to life by the efforts of these dedicated community volunteers. True leadership is not afraid of challenge. I also want to recognize the dedicated community of Valley Home in the northeastern part of our county. Over the past 5 years, they've worked on a piece of land where the old Valley Home Community Center have been taken down, and they have created the Valley Home Community Center Park. It was dedicated this past June. The park has become a gathering place for the whole community and was designed, built, and landscaped entirely by community volunteers, down to the last detail. It has a wonderful pavilion surrounded by Valley Hope trees, and it is a park that visibly shows the pride that this community has. The scope of projects that have been implemented over the past year is monumental. Fire services, animal services, the Family Justice Center, all done in this Great Recession. Valley Recovery Services and Laird Parks, name only a few, also echo these unique partnerships born out of very different circumstances and only made possible through extraordinary people with a commitment to serve. These are the things that inspire us. These are the things that speak into our hearts and propel us forward to do great things in the midst of great struggle. And these are the things that build up our hope. We see that hope in our young people. I strongly believe we have some amazing young people in our county, and they have an unbridled passion for the future. But sometimes that future is not as bright for some. They are challenged by bad examples in their homes, or maybe they've just made bad choices on their own. As a result, demands for our juvenile justice system are growing, and we are one of the few counties our size without a treatment-type facility for youthful offenders. It's a problem we wish we didn't have, but it's a harsh reality we live in. New facilities are incredibly expensive, and our county could never afford to pay for it on its own. But in October this past year, we broke ground on a new $24 million, 47,000 square foot juvenile commitment center that adds 60 beds of housing and facilities that will support rehabilitation of our youthful offenders. Not only does the project add capacity, but it will also bring the opportunity for some of these young offenders to turn their lives around if they engage in the program opportunities it will offer. The facility will feature a vocational culinary program, classrooms, and offer hope for young people in trouble in our county. So how do we do it? Simply put, we have probably the best capital facilities team and the best probation department in the state of California. Our county team worked tirelessly over a three-year period and put together a grant application that was the first one accepted and funded by the state under the Juvenile Accountability Facilities Program. And as of today, no other project has even been approved by the state. Through our team's work, we were awarded up to $18 million in project funding, with the remaining coming from local sources, such as public facility fees, that had been previously collected. It was an amazing effort, and it is a project that could never have been done otherwise. But our team wasn't finished. Our adult jail system has struggled with aging facilities and insufficient capacity. On top of that, state realignment of public safety is directing more prisoners into our jail system. Our Capitals Project team, in conjunction with the Sheriff's Office, just completed an AB 900 state grant application that could provide up to $80 million in funding for design and construction of two new 192-bed maximum security units, a 72-bed medical mental health housing unit, and a day reporting center. This grant would only require a 10% local match. This application is the largest in the history of our county, and was another staggering multi-year undertaking. These grants required an incredible level of detail and preparation, and our team has been up to the challenge. We are expecting to hear in the spring as to whether this grant application was accepted by the state. We are also developing plans for relocating the Sheriff's County's Coroner facility to the former Medical Arts Building in downtown Modesto. The current facility space, the equipment, and storage needs has not kept pace with current or future demands. Renovating the vacant building instead of constructing a new facility will save this county nearly $6 million. The facility will also include the sheriff's remote video visitation to the jails program, where prisoner visitation occurs via camera in a remote setting. The scope of these projects is daunting, yet the commitment, persistence, and hard work of county staff has been inspirational. We need to continue to honor our heroes within our family of employees, like Deputy Nuno, who saved the life of a 7-year-old boy, or Deputy Barnes, Amber Brown, and Dispatcher Nunez for their heroic life-saving actions at a Patterson accident. And we must never forget the ultimate sacrifice of Mary Donahue, lost in the line of duty. We have lost many in our county family, including Board of Supervisors Field Rep Sandy Hobb. They will be forever in our hearts. Our county's economic development needs innovation as well. The agricultural economy of Stanislaus County continues to be a priority for this board, and it is the lifeblood of our community. We are dependent on the thousands of jobs that are generated from our agricultural community. But we also know that agriculture alone will not provide the thousands of additional jobs needed to support our local economy. We have seen construction alone is not the answer. We know we need a diversified economic base. We need property with developed infrastructure that can be ready for a quick conversion for tenants. We need a bold vision that not only provides employment opportunity for the more than 35,000 already unemployed people in our county, but a vision that will create thousands of jobs that will be needed into the future to support our population growth. We strongly believe in the development of Crow's Landing property is essential for our economic prosperity. The right development of this property has the opportunity to generate thousands of permanent living wage jobs that are needed now and into the future. We will continue to closely monitor the development of the West Park project, looking for adherence to key timelines and a fulfillment of stated outcomes. We need jobs, and we need them on a large scale, and this board is committed to bringing jobs to the Crow's Landing facility. Innovation also happens in ways that might not be so evident to the public. Our county staff has made incredible strides over the past year through the creation of a new self-funded health insurance program for our employees. This program will provide employees with extensive access to health providers while potentially saving millions of dollars and providing greater access to cost information. Our budget team has once again received national recognition through the Government Finance Officers Association Award, the 9th year in a row to receive this prestigious accomplishment, and only one of 7 counties in the state. Our county employees worked creatively to perform a massive Oracle software upgrade that saved this county more than $1 million. Most organizations would need to contract with outside vendors to perform upgrades on this scale, but our staff pulled off what few organizations could. Our General Services Agency created a contract janitorial service agreement that is projected to save over $1 million over the next 4 years. And these are just a few of the areas that I can highlight. These accomplishments are truly amazing, and our staff is truly amazing. I tell you, hope is returning, and the reality of a new day is here in Stanislaus County. I'm proud of our employees. Every day they are working harder for the residents of our county, and our vision for this next year is to continue to meet our community's needs. We will pave miles of roads, fix bridges, and make sure our infrastructure is maintained. We will provide vaccinations to children and physician services for more than 200,000 people. We will help our veterans get the services and financial help they need, whether they're just returning from battle or having served 50 years ago. More than 300,000 riders will use county buses as their transportation source. We will be here when you call 911 or when you need a sheriff's deputy. And we'll even be here to send you a property tax bill and collect and process your check. We will do the thousands and thousands of things every day that most people will never see. We'll take care of foster children who feel abandoned. We'll make sure families receive child support checks. We'll get help to those who need it with CalFresh assistance. Farmers will be helped. Gas station pumps, restaurants, and school cafeterias will be inspected. And we'll be ready to respond if disaster strikes. And the list goes on. In all of these things, we will try to do a little better, to look at the services we provide in a new way and ask the question, how can we be just a little better today? Our successes over this past year are many. We have needed to take the time to celebrate them and celebrate the people who have made it possible. And there will be many more successes, big and small, in 2012. And our new day in government, and it is a new day, will continue to get better as we move forward serving our community. Over this past year, we as a board have acted with sincere purpose and have attempted to balance compassion with prudence. We have engaged in vigorous discussion and debate, yet conducted ourselves with dignity. And we have acted to create the best possible policies in order to preserve vital services for our county residents in this time of great trial. Leadership is not about being the most visible. It is not about being the loudest in the room or the most confrontational. It's about being committed to purpose and to service. Leadership is about standing on your values and creating a vision for the future. It's about dealing with issues head on and then walking a path of integrity and then taking that path each day to inspire others to achieve their goals. May we at Stanislaus County walk on that path of integrity. May our eyes be fixed upon a future filled with hope and opportunity in the reality of this new day. And may we continue to encourage one another to persevere in times of challenge and to see the hope of a brighter future together. Thank you all. May God bless you. May God bless Stanislaus County. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I'm going to ask that we take a 5-minute recess and then we'll reconvene.
All right, at this time we'll reconvene the Board of Supervisors meeting and we'll go on to public comment period. I have two specific requests to speak and we'll start with them. Ty Vivell from the Snohomish County Posse Rodeo. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, supervisors and staff. I appreciate it, and what I've got to say is not nearly as nice as what you just did. I'm here on behalf of the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Posse to make you aware and to request any help that you might give us in outreach to restart the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Posse Charity Rodeo, which they put on for 27 years in Turlock. And we're targeting now to redo it in June, on June 15th and 16th this year. Basically, they haven't been able to do it the last couple of years. Obviously, economy, money, those kinds of things that you talked a great deal about a few minutes ago. And the idea here is that we want to give the benefits and the proceeds to all of the FFA chapters in Stanislaus County. It's going to take some effort, and we need to get the public behind us. Right now we're in a sponsorship phase looking for sponsors to help us, and we're about probably draw the line here mid-February if we don't reach a certain level. The proceeds, as I say, go to FFA, and there's a PO box that's been set up in Oakdale, 2411. You have one of these, which details some of the sponsorship issues and so forth. But anything that you can do in the way of outreach or publicity, we would really, really appreciate it. So I want to get the public aware that we're trying to redo this, and it is going to be an effort, but we'll get it done. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. I also have a request from Carmen Morad. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman O'Brien. Supervisors, I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate our new CEO, Monica Nino, and of course, County Council and staff. I would like to thank you for this opportunity as the president of the Stanislaus County chapter of the California Grand Jurors Association. Recognizing the increased need for citizens' oversight of its local government and the importance of a vigorous, active, and knowledgeable citizenry in public affairs, a small group of former grand jurors have organized the Stanislaus County chapter of the California Grand Jurors Association. The new chapter received its certification from the States Association on October 25, 2011, and is now conducting a membership drive and developing a speaker series for former grand jurors and other interested community members. The Stanislaus County chapter has set objectives to increase the credibility, visibility, and impact of the citizens of the civil grand jury system and to expand awareness and involvement of all citizens in their local government agency. The new group will also be an available resource to work with the local government agencies. The new group will also be available as a source and as a resource to the current grand jury when requested. The association wishes to work in partnership with other groups and organizations that support improving the effectiveness of the efficiency of local government and the enhancement of the grand jury system in Stanislaus County. Thank you for this opportunity and thank you for your leadership.
Great. Thank you.
Are there any questions on this matter? I'll be more than happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the board?
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to address this board on any item that is not on today's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move to consent calendar. Does any member of the Board of Supervisors wishes to pull any item for a separate vote or for discussion? Is there any public comment on any item on today's consent calendar? Seeing none, I'll look for a motion.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item passes 5-0. Being that it is past the time of 9:05, we'll go to a scheduled matter, sitting as the redevelopment agency. So we'll momentarily adjourn from the Board of Supervisors, call the meeting to order of the redevelopment agency. Consent calendar, which consists of minutes, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
A motion and a second. And second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Item passes. There's no correspondence, no public hearings. The presentation, 20 years of redevelopment.
Yes.
Mr. Ford.
Excuse me. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Redevelopment Agency. This is our last time together as the Redevelopment Agency. As you are very well aware, come midnight tonight, the executioner is going to show up, and we disappear completely. I have some other pictures, but they were inappropriate, so I didn't include them in there, just so that you know. On midnight tonight, basically according to ABX 126, all redevelopment agencies, ours included, about 400 in the state, disappear. Redevelopment was a very effective tool, and Chairman O'Brien, thank you very much for taking the time in your State of the County address to address the impacts that the RDA has had. You stole a little bit of my thunder, but that's okay. The RDA has created lots of jobs in this county. We have created affordable housing in this county. We've repaired and installed local infrastructure, and we've provided local economic development opportunities. And before I hand the meeting over to Angela to talk about the last action that this redevelopment agency is going to take, I'd ask your indulgence to just talk a little bit about the things that the redevelopment agency has actually done in the last 20 years. This agency was adopted in 1991. It included 15 different sub-areas within the county, about 4,200 acres, included areas like Wesley, Crow's Landing, Denair, Keys, Hickman, Empire, the Shackelford and Bret Hart neighborhoods, the airport neighborhoods, Salida, Valley Home. What have we done in the last 20 years? Well, we've put about $80 million into the community, and that's just the cash that we've thrown in. Does not include the monies that we have leveraged with RDA funds, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But really, the cash value of what we've done is about $80 million. And just so that you know, we put about $50 to $60 million as pass-throughs to fire districts and school districts as well. So it's not like we took all of the money for ourselves. It also went through, pursuant to California redevelopment law, into special districts, fire districts, and the like. Our programs really focused on four different areas: housing, infrastructure, economic development, and miscellaneous things such as neighborhood cleanups. We had several partners throughout our life, including Habitat for Humanity, Gallo, Stanco, the Housing Authority, self-help enterprises. We leveraged a lot of money through the federal government, through HUD, through CDBG programs, through the HOME program, for the Cal HFA program. One of the primary things that we focused on, and the paper asked me what was I most proud of about the RDA over the last 20 years, and I think it's our housing program. It has to be, because that really touched a lot of people out there, real lives and real people. We did a housing rehabilitation program where we would work with Habitat for Humanity or work with Housing Authority or others to rehab houses as they go through, very similar to what we're doing now with our neighborhood stabilization program. You can see some before and after pictures here on what the houses look like. We also, sometimes rehabilitation isn't quite the right thing to do, so you need to completely reconstruct, so we would tear down homes and rebuild them as well. One of the other programs is a down payment assistance program, where we would provide some assistance to low-income folks to help them with their down payment. This really touched families a lot, touched them in the Keys, touched them in Salida. Our first-time homebuyer program touched a lot of people out here. Some of the examples of the things that we've done: our first partnership with Habitat for Humanity was in 2000, where we spent about $75,000 rehabbing two units. We leveraged some money, like talking about leveraging, $200,000 of RDA money resulted in a $1.3 million grant for rehabilitation of farm worker housing with the Housing Authority. So that's how we leveraged our money. Certainly more than, 5 to 1, 6 to 1 on a return for the dollar. In 2002, we worked with self-help enterprises for a housing rehab program. 2004, our Cal HFA loan, $500,000 for first-time home buyers. 2003 to 7, we used some of our housing money to work on our sewer lateral connection program, and certainly we continue with our arrangements and work with the Housing Authority. with Habitat for Humanity in 2007, we purchased 4 additional units at about $360,000, and Habitat fixed those places up with the help of the new owners. In 2008, we doubled that to 8 different units. We've also provided gap financing for the Archway Commons project, which was an affordable housing project tied to the city of Modesto. So we have touched a lot of families with our down payment assistance, with our housing programs, with our rehab and reconstruction. And to me, I think that's probably the thing I'm most proud of, is that this really did touch a lot of individuals and a lot of people. In 2007, kind of in front of the curve, Anna Rocha San Nicolas now started a foreclosure prevention workshop program. And it was one of the first in the state to really get organized and move forward. And our RDA was critical in beginning that and getting that moving forward. Our capital projects fund, we really focused on health and safety and infrastructure. Some of the bigger projects we've been involved with the Shackelford Neighborhood Storm Drain and Sewer Project, the Bret Hart Neighborhood Sewers. We also used some of our housing funds, as I said before, to hook up the houses. You can build the sewer line, the main line in the street, but if you don't have the ability to hook them up, hook the houses up, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good just to have a pipe in the ground. So we spent some of our RDA money to assist people to hook up at no cost to them. Some of the planned projects that we have ahead, we had planned, like we said, was the Airport Neighborhood Sewers, Park One Neighborhood Sewers, and Empire Storm Drains. And with the passage of this AB X-126 bill, these are very, very seriously in question. The funding for these are in question. And truthfully, I'm not sure where we're going to find the money to build these projects at this time. Empire Storm Drain Project, we did almost the entire community we just started phase one, and we're looking forward to beginning phase two soon, but I'm not sure again where that's going to lead. We did a big Salida storm drain project as well. Our biggest one to date was probably Keys. We took the entire downtown area of Keys, put in storm drains, gutters, and redid all of the roads for most of the downtown area in Keys. That was about a $14 million bond grant. I think the total project was about $18 million. We've also done emergency septic repair. When people's septic tanks start failing, and some of our unincorporated pockets, RDA money was there to help them repair their septics. We worked with the Monterey Park Track to do a water supply study. We worked in Salida for the Broadway Avenue and Salida Corridor projects. Worked in Crow's Landing on a waterline repair program and a streetscape beautification program at the Howard Road Interstate 5 interchange. One of the other types of projects we've done that's been very successful have been neighborhood cleanups. In 1993, this RDA started doing neighborhood cleanups. In 1994, they went to Salida, Airport, Denair, and Hickman. And from 1994 through 2010, we continued on an annual basis until we've exhausted all of our funding. Basically, you can see that each cleanup averaged about 35 tons of garbage. We'd go in through alleyways and residential properties, took away hundreds and hundreds of tires on each one. And I did the math on this one. I figured 35 tons a year per times 5 times a year times 100 equals 175 tons per year. 175 tons per year times 17 years is about 6 million pounds of garbage. So this RDA removed about 6 million pounds of garbage from our RDA areas and our neighborhoods. That's a lot. One of the other things that we've been involved in is economic development. We worked with the Workforce Development Program, did some micro-enterprise loans, and we're preparing revitalization plans. But basically, all of this disappears at midnight tonight. There will be no more RDA housing or infrastructure projects, no more economic development, and certainly no more neighborhood cleanups. I would be remiss if I did not mention the folks that started and have worked on RDA projects. And Ron Freitas and Jim Duvall and Anna Rocha are probably the three folks that really got this thing going. Our current staff today, including Angela and Aaron and Marianne Rucker and everybody, have really put a lot of work together on this. And certainly the Redevelopment Agency board members, your predecessors, and you have provided us with a tremendous amount of support over these last 20 years. So with that, I guess I say we've got one more action to take, and I'm certainly more than willing to answer any questions. Some of our staff is here as well to talk to you. And with that, that's probably going to be my last report as a redevelopment agency executive director.
Are there any questions? I would just like to say that I think that was a great report of all the great things we've done with our redevelopment agency, and it's just a shame that the state has gone in the direction they've gone, because there were some good things done for some people who were in serious need, and it's just a shame.
Thank you.
All right. CEO Nino.
I'd like to thank Mr. Ford and your leadership within the RDA and your predecessor, Mr. Freitas. You guys have been very strategic along with your staff. You've been ahead of the curve so that the county's general fund, along with any of the other county dollars that weren't RDA related, so that there was an exposure to other resources. And I thank you for that. I know the past CEOs would thank you for that also, but we very much appreciate your leadership in this effort and your staff and our past planning directors. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to agenda item 7A, approval to amend the enforceable obligation payment schedule for existing redevelopment area debt service.
Good evening, Chairman O'Brien and members of the Redevelopment Board. Angela Freitas sitting before you for the last time this morning as Redevelopment Agency staff. The last item that we're bringing before you is a recommendation to approve an amendment to the Enforceable Obligation Payment Schedule, which is known as an EOPS. You may recall that this board adopted an EOPS on August 23rd of last year, and it covered the period of time between August to December. It was done in compliance with the Dissolution Act and the deadlines that were in place at that time. However, the court's decision in December to uphold the Dissolution Act as constitution pushed back those deadlines, and the new deadline brings us today, which is the final day for the RDA to amend its EOPS to reflect payments due after December of 2011, and it covers the payments of January through June 2012. An EOPS must list all the agency's enforceable obligations, and the enforceable obligations include bonds and loans, payments required by federal and state government, obligations imposed by state law, judgments, settlements, and binding arbitrations, legally binding and enforceable agreements or contracts or agreements necessary for the continued administration and operation of the agency. The proposed EOPS, the amendments to the proposed EOPS include updates to the totals and payments by month, the removal of the AB1X27 voluntary payment. As you know, AB1X27 was found to be unconstitutional. The removal of the pass-through agreement payments. We're removing them as enforceable obligations on the EOPS, but they will still be paid. They will be paid directly by the auditor controller and will not be an obligation of the successor agency. Updates to the employee salaries, retirement obligations, and operational expenses to reflect those expenses of the agency prior to dissolution and those of the successor agencies after dissolution. We've added the Keys Bond administration costs and the administration cost allowance provided under the Dissolution Act, and have reclassified the LMI low to moderate income housing set-aside obligations. The Redevelopment Agency's project number one had a requirement to provide 25% of its gross tax increment to the low to moderate income LMI housing set aside. 20% of this was required by the California Redevelopment Law, and 5% extra was required by a 1991 agreement with the California Rural Legal Assistance, CRLA. The state requirement does not apply under the Dissolution Act, but the 1991 agreement is an enforceable obligation, and as such, that extra 5% is still valid and enforceable after dissolution up until June of 2032, and so that obligation has been changed from the 25% that was listed as an other obligation to the 5% that is now listed as an enforceable obligation. Your board and executive director of the agency received a letter from CRLA dated January 13th that suggests that the amended EOPS reflect enforceable obligations of $4.5 million and $32 million pursuant to a 2011 settlement agreement between Stanislaus County and the Community Concerning Community Improvement, CCCI. The agreement committed the county and redevelopment agency staff to recommend approval of a funding plan using RDA funds to design and construct the Park Lawn and Airport neighborhood sewer projects. those recommendations by the RDA staff were made, and the RDA was authorized to enter into $4.5 million sewer hookup agreement and a $32 million agreement with the County Public Works Department. The sewer hookup agreement was never executed, but the $32 million Public Works agreement was executed. Under the Dissolution Act, AB1X26, enforceable obligations do not include agreements between the RDA and its sponsoring community, which is Stanislaus County in this case, that were entered into after January 1st, 2011. That includes the $32 million Public Works Infrastructure Agreement. Enforceable obligations do include settlements and agreements, which could include such as the Stanislaus County and CCCI settlement agreement. However, in this case, the RDA was not directly a party to that settlement. And as such, the Public Works Infrastructure Agreement remains on the EOPS, but it remains listed as an other obligation and not an enforceable obligation. After dissolution, after tomorrow, the RDA successor agency is permitted to only make payments that are listed on the EOPS. The EOPS will be delivered to the successor agency as a draft recognized obligation payment schedule, known as a ROPS. Essentially, it's a retitled EOPS. And the successor agency's oversight board will need to adopt the ROPS prior to April 15, 2012. The oversight board will have the ability to reconsider whether or not any agreements are indeed enforceable obligations or other obligations. After May 1st, the successor agency may only make payments that are listed on that ROPS. The recommendations being put before you this morning are to adopt the proposed amended EOPS in compliance with AB1X26, the Dissolution Act, to direct the Executive Director to take all the actions required by AB1X26, including but not limited to posting the amended EOPS on the agency website and transmitting the EOPS to the County Auditor Controller, the State Controller, and the State Department of Finance, and to reserve the right in the event of future litigation or legislation to modify, rescind, and alter this action whole or in part, or to take further action as may be required or desired to address such litigation or legislation. If there are any questions, staff's available to answer questions.
Any questions from board members?
What a mess. What a mess. So there's an opportunity between, is it April 15th and May 1st, when we adopt the ROPS,
The oversight board of the successor agency needs to adopt the ROPS by April 15th so that it can be transmitted to the state. When they're doing that, they have the opportunity to look at all the enforceable obligations that are listed and the other obligation, that public works agreement. However, the obligation board's decision, or the oversight board's decision, is not the final say. It does need to be approved by the state, and the state could still say no.
Are there any comments or questions from public members? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the Redevelopment Agency. Anything further, or is there a motion to proceed?
We'll move the three staff recommendations.
I have a motion by Monteith.
I'll second that.
And a second by Withrow. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That item passes. Thank you. Comes to the point of public forum for the Redevelopment Agency. Anybody in the audience wishes to address the Redevelopment Agency, they may do so now. Seeing none, we'll adjourn from the Redevelopment Agency, return to the Board of Supervisors, and move on to correspondence.
Thank you. This board has received a letter from the California Energy Commission regarding the completion of projects using the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Block Grant Program funded by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act.
Refer to Department of Public Works.
This board has received a letter from the United States Department of Interior regarding the study that they are conducting to determine if the Knights Ferry Bridge in Stanislaus County qualifies to be on the National Historic Landmark.
Refer to Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received a copy of the comprehensive annual financial report of the Stanislaus County Employees Retirement Association for fiscal years ended June 30, 2011 and 2010.
We acknowledge receipt of report.
This board has received a copy of the Faith of Child Support in California 2012-2013 from the Child Support Directors Association of California.
We acknowledge receipt of report.
And this board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office of Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Supervisor DeMartini?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I just would like to comment on the consent item B3, which is the Shackelford annexation. This small community has benefited a lot from the redevelopment agencies, which have just been disbanded. There's been about $9 million that was spent on this community, putting in sewer systems, sidewalks, storm drains, and it is now scheduled for annexation, which was always the ultimate goal, to LAFCO on January 22nd, unless the state throws in another roadblock we're not expecting. This community is a good example of what the redevelopment agencies have done. And it's really a shame that the redevelopment agencies have been disbanded before we got to the Park Lawn community, which is just right across the street. But this is something significant for South Modesto as Shackelford soon becomes annexed into the city of Modesto.
Supervisor Kidd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to give a report. I had a San Joaquin Rail Committee, and I am the board's representative to that. I just wanted to report, I thought it was pretty interesting, there has been, and this is the San Joaquin Rail Amtrak through the valley, and they are 15 months straight of record ridership. I've set a record every month for 15 months straight, and it doesn't look like it's going to stop. As of about September, right around Labor Day, they're going to be adding a car to each of the trains, the six-round trip trains. They have a new car that they're refurbishing. They're called Comet cars. They're single deck. You'll see a couple of trains that look a little bit different, but that's the only way they're going to be able to continue the record ridership. And our Public Works Director, Matt Machado, attends the meetings with me, and we're also looking at ways for the gap closure, because Amtrak goes to Bakersfield, you jump on a bus and you take it down to L.A., but some way to close that gap. So it's pretty exciting times for, you know, and I would expect as the price of gasoline continues to climb that we will continue to see record ridership. It is, we were told, it is the only rail line in the nation that has seen this kind of growth. And we're about 50% fare box ratio, which we know at bus lines are 10 to 15%. So, good way to get around the valley. Take Amtrak.
Good report. Any other Board of Supervisors reports? All right, we've got the Legislative Fiscal and Management Report. Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Chairman. As our chairman stated in his State of the County address, I'm going to bring up a situation in regards to deferrals, unfortunately. I was on a CAO-CEO conference call last week, and the state is asking to defer payment. They made some advance payments to the counties as of July 1st of 2012, July 1st of 2011, and what they're asking is to defer payments for February and March to local government. They do say that they will be repaying us back in April. These deferrals will primarily impact our drug Medi-Cal, along with foster care, adoptions, welfare services, and adult protective services. They are anticipating, as I said a little bit earlier, repayment in April, which is the timing of when they receive their state income tax returns, along with their second round of property tax installments. That's unfortunate. Again, we can handle it from a cash flow perspective, but I think the bigger issue is here's another round of deferrals as a result of the state having cash flow issues of their own. On January 24th, the U.S. District Court judge did rule that the state cannot reduce the 10% proposed for our Medi-Cal doctors, along with dentist ambulance services and other providers. This decision came after the court also blocked cuts to hospital-based nursing units along with pharmacies. The proposed 10% cut was supposed to generate the state of California roughly $620 million additional dollars in balancing their current year's budget. The California Teachers Union has officially backed Governor Brown's November tax initiative. That represents roughly over 325,000 teachers within the state of California, along with the California Supreme Court ruled that the state Senate maps drawn for Citizens Redistricting Commission will be used in the current year's election. On the federal front, And we want to thank our local representatives for doing this. Congressman Cardoza, Denham, along with Costa, have authored a letter to the Army Corps of Engineers to support fully funding the 2012 budget for Orisdendum Creek Flood Control Project, and we would like to thank them again for that. Congressman Cardoza also authored a letter on our behalf in support of a federal grant application that our health services agency is participating in with 14 other partners that previously came before this board, and it's the grant application for the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. It's a $23 million healthcare innovation challenge grant. And so we thank Congressman Cardoza for doing that on this county's behalf. That concludes the report, Chairman.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions? Just one real quick. So, Monica, it's on that deferral. It's about a three-month deferral.
Two-month deferral.
And how much dollar-wise do you know what the ballpark?
You know what? I don't, unfortunately. But we'll have that for you. We were trying to get some quick numbers today. And you know what, Mr. Jones? We talked about it first thing this morning, and so he might have that.
Hi, good morning. David Jones, Director of Legislative Affairs. There's a recoupment portion where they actually front-loaded money to our programs in July and August because revenue hadn't been collected by the state yet. The recoupment portion is going to be, I believe, about $1.7 million total of that money that was advanced to the county. And then the deferrals will total about $2.1 million, and they're scheduled to be repaid in April.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Okay.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
We have an announcement. There's a public reception for the Chief Executive Officer, Monica Nino, today, January 31st, 2:30 to 4:30 this afternoon at the Kirk Lindsay Center, 1020 10th Street, Suite 102 here in Modesto. We do have closed session. County Council Doring.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have several matters to discuss with the board in closed session today. First, with conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 Subdivision A involving five cases. The first case is Rachel Prescott et al. Versus County of Stanislaus et al., United States District Court, Eastern District of California, case number 1:10CV. 00592JLT. Second matter is Daniel Creshon et al. Versus Edward Northard et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 662676. Third is Liliana Shaparo versus Natalie L. Diaz et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 652132. Fourth is Horacio Martinez et al. Versus State of California et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 617051. And fifth is Cardoza Family Partnership LP versus Diana Serrano et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court, case number 663449. We do not expect to report out on any of those matters. Additionally, there's conference with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 Subdivision C involving two cases. There may or may not be a report out on that depending on actions taken by the board.
This Board of Supervisors meeting is adjourned to closed session.